I don't know, we just kind of spontaneously, the Holy Spirit moved on us, and we did a sunrise to sunset prayer meeting Friday in both locations and prayed 12 hours, fasted 12 hours. What a powerful time of prayer. I did it through social media, and if you didn't see it, I'm sorry, but I didn't know how else to contact the whole entire church. But we'll continue to do that because we believe that when we pray for the persecuted church, God's going to bring a deliverance. Amen? Amen. So our brothers and sisters of Christ are suffering. Many Christians in Mosul, Iraq, some in Syria, these terrorist groups are coming through, marking their homes as Christian, and then those others come back behind them, pillage them, rape their women, kill their children, behead them, imprison them. They have an option. You either pay a tax to be a Christian, convert to Islam, or you flee, or you lose your life. And it was interesting. They put identification on them. Some of you may have seen this. The Arabic letter N on their home. So that's how they knew that these were Christians. And the Arabic letter N stood for Nasara, which means Nazarene, and that they are a Christian. And so when the army would come and see this N on their door, they would go in and destroy this home. And people left all their possessions. They left everything. They didn't have anything. They had to flee for their very life. And these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, if you go to the Voice of the Martyrs, this has had nothing to do with my sermon, but this is like a side commercial, okay? This is like a free commercial. This is the time where you stretch, take your shoes off, get comfortable. They have a wonderful T-shirt. It's black and it's red. And it has the Arabic N on it, real big, big U with a dot on it. That's how it looks, N, boom. And in small case, it says I-M-N. And I thought, Lord, I'm going to order one of those, and I'm going to wear that. Now, most Americans, most non-Muslims would not know what that is unless you spoke Arabic, right? But if you spoke Arabic, you would know when I say, I am N. In other words, I'm a Christian. So in America, isn't it good to be able to say I'm a Christian? Yes. Amen? And not have to worry about a sword taking off your head? Yet? It's all right, though, but you know what? The power of God is being manifest in this nation. And let me tell you, supernatural things are happening. And you and I need to get ready. And God showed me, he said, you know what? If you'll just set ablaze the nations of this earth with revival fire, then it doesn't matter who comes against. Who comes against the Christian? But if they can stand in the miraculous supernatural power and ability of God, and the fire of God can spread in these nations, then you will see revival all over the earth. And the Bible promises that we will see revival as the waters cover the earth. So the word will cover the earth. And so we're believing God for that. And I'm just excited about it. And I just wanted to tell you real quick, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to go and take fire to the nations. I said, God, I don't have a whole lot of fires like this little light of mine. And he said, no, your fire is growing. It's getting bigger. And I want you to take this flame of revival and this supernatural power of God to whoever I want you to meet. I'll set it up. You're not going to go preach. You're going to go meet certain people. It'll be like Philip. All of a sudden, I said, look, can we do that Philip thing where I don't have to get on a plane? That'd be cool, man. Just boom. All of a sudden, I'm in the Philippines. Boom. Back in Valley View. Yeah, I like that. He said, no, get on a plane. But we want to take them into Revelation. And he said he's going to show us that. And so I'm by faith. On the first week of December, I'm going to take Tina and we're going to go to Brazil. And God's just going to open the doors for us and we're going to release the healing anointing. We're going to release the fire of God. And then from there, I don't know where he's going to take us. Maybe China, maybe Hong Kong, maybe Norway. I don't know. But I want to be open to go wherever God takes me. And you'll know more about it. I'll tell you a little bit more about it because I need some help to get there. And if you feel so led, that'll be awesome. But if not, you'll still pray for us, right? Amen. All right, let's get to the Word this morning. How many are happy for the Word of God? Woo! I'm happy for the Word of God. Is the air conditioning on in here? Because it is hot. Huh? Is the air conditioning on, guys? You turned it off. Let's turn it back on. I'll just talk loud. You leave that one off down there, Dave. Leave that one off. David, Leave that one off. We'll just turn these on. Because that one's so loud you can't even hear when it turns on. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 32, verse 7. Jeremiah 32, verse 7. Come on, church. Jeremiah 32, verse 7. Can you read it with me? Let's read it. Come on. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard? Woo. Well, what's the answer to that? Absolutely not. But the Lord has declared, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh, and there is nothing too hard for me. When I consider that and think with me now, Matthew 7, the Bible said that which of you, when his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or when he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Then Jesus said this, if you then being evil, don't look at the person right or left of you. He said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to yours, watch, how much more? Say that with me. How much more? Look at two people and say, there is more in store for you. God has more for you. Now listen, he said, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things? Oh, there you go. Give good things to who? Hallelujah! Give good things to who? So why don't we ask him? Right? If we'll ask him, he said he will give us good things. There's more. How much more does the Father want to give us? Look at Matthew 17 and verse 20. He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, nothing will be impossible to him that what? Believes. Isn't that great? Nothing will be impossible to him that believes. Now let me ask this question. Do we have any believers in here this morning by a show of hands? Oh, we're going to see some stuff happening. Oh, he said, if you believe, nothing will be what? Impossible to you if you believe. Now, I just want to make a declaration out of James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 is declaring that we're closing a season in the body of Christ of instability. What I mean by that is being tossed to and fro like the winds of the sea. Believe one day and then we don't believe. In other words, keep going, look at verse 7 and then flip it over to verse 8. And it says that we're not going to receive anything from God. But look at verse 8, because the man is unstable in all his ways. I really believe the Holy Spirit is bringing stability to the church. Stability, because we're believing God. Hallelujah. We're believing God. And we know that God has more in store for those who believe. So we are expectant. I want to say this. If you'll put it on the screen. How you pray determines what kind of life you live. If you pray man-sized prayers, that determines your life. But if you pray God-sized prayers, that'll determine your life. How you pray determines how you live. So if that be the case, then I need to take inventory. How do I pray? What do I say? What do I believe? See, God-sized prayers, and you're going to see the greatness of God's power. Man-sized prayers, and you're going to see the greatness of man's power. And how many know that with man, things are impossible? But with God, all things are possible. With man-sized prayer, impossibility. With God-sized prayer, possibility. I'd rather be on the possibility side than the impossibility side, right? So if we will begin to pray God-sized prayers, we can begin to see the miraculous as normal. Now, let me just say this to you. How many of you own a toothbrush? Can I see your hand? Hallelujah. I'm not going to ask the follow-up question, how many used it this morning? I'm not going to ask it. But why did I ask that question? I want you to understand, and I want you to look around again, if you would, with me, please. How many own a toothbrush? Hold it up. Look around at all the people. Everybody owns a toothbrush. Now, that's important for us to get into our thinking. Why? Because in James 5:17, Elijah, a man who used a toothbrush just like you. In other words, he had a nature like ours. He was no different than you and I. He wasn't extraordinary. He was ordinary. But he learned how to pray extraordinary prayers. So he had a nature like ours, but he prayed. He said, I'm going to walk into God-sized prayer this morning. Father, I just declare and I just pray that it would not rain. And God said, I like that prayer. Heavens, dry up. 3.5 years, no rain. Wow. I want to try that. I want to walk like that. I want to get into that kind of realm of believing for God-sized prayers. Here's another example. Joshua, in Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 to 13, was in a battle. And he was running out of time. And he said, God, I need more time. If I just had a couple more hours of daylight, I could win this battle. So he decided to pray a God-sized prayer. So he said to the Lord, Son, stand still over Gibeon. And how many know God said, wow, I like that God-sized prayer. All right, son, stop. Because Joshua was an ordinary man who prayed a God-sized prayer. The sun stood still, the moon stopped, till the people had revenge upon their enemies. That's amazing. When you think about Joshua, when you think about Elijah, these people were people like you and me. Don't put the people in the Bible on this level of extraordinary in the Bible that you and I could never attain to. They used a toothbrush, just like you use a toothbrush. They had a nature just like ours. Now, you remember the story of Elijah in 2 Kings 1? King Hazael said, Who spoke this word against us? And they said, oh, you know that prophet Elijah. Well, they didn't say the prophet Elijah. They said, what does he look like? Who spoke this? Tell me what he looked like. Well, he's about 6'4", handsome, gray hair, had orange and gray shoes on. That's the man that spoke it. Oh, I know who that is. That's Louis Kayton. In other words, he described Elijah to the king because they knew what he looked like. Say that with me. Knew what he looked like. Say it again. They knew what he looked like. So they identified where the word came from by how they recognized Elijah's form. Is that correct? Well, I'm not going to read the whole scripture to you, but that's what happened in the Bible. Trust me. So here's what the king said. I want 50 men. Go get him and kill him. So they marched. And they got over there to the city where they believed Elijah was. And they walked up to this man and said, where's Elijah? And they said, I don't know. Who's asking? And you know who said that to them? Elijah. They came to the city and asked, where are you? Where is Elijah? And they went, I want to know who's asking. Now, how is it that they recognized the word that came from the prophet against Israel? Then when they went to look for him, they're looking right at him and can't see him. How many know that God made Elijah invisible. Invisible. Elijah said, look, if I were you, I'd be backing up right now because fire is about to fall from heaven. 50 more men. Anybody see Elijah? You probably shouldn't be asking that question. 50 more guys came. They got on their knees and begged, please don't send fire down from heaven. The truth of this thing is that God made Elijah, who they knew, invisible to the natural eye and could not identify him. God can make the sun stand still. God can make you invisible. God can take you from one place in a chariot to another place. God can cause it not to rain for 3.5 years and then send a gully washer if he wants to do it. See, you and I need to realize nothing is unthinkable with God. The key is to start asking God the unthinkable. Now, how do you ask God for the unthinkable? Well, you can't think about it. How could you ask him if you're thinking about it? How could you ask for the unthinkable if you go, let me think about it. Okay, I'm going to ask God for that. The Holy Spirit will search the deep things of God. He will go to the very depths of God where only the Holy Spirit can go. And he will come with truth and make it known to your mind. And suddenly you're saying, God, I'm believing for a nation overnight. And he goes, yes. In other words, learning how to ask God for the unthinkable. Learning how to get into the extraordinary zone. Out of the ordinary zone. Asking God to do something impossible. How many would like to know the definition of impossible? Well, whether you want to know or not, I'm going to tell you. The word impossible means incapable of having existence, of not occurring. Now, if Luke chapter 1 tells us all things are possible to them who believe, then impossibility says, by its own definition, that it is incapable of having existence or occurring. All things are possible. All things can have an existence. All things are capable of occurring to them who have believed. So there's not one thing that is impossible or incapable of existing or occurring in Jesus. How many would believe that with me? Okay, here's the second part of that definition. Impossible means not capable of being accomplished. So all things are possible to them who believe. All things that cannot be accomplished are accomplishable in God. Everything that is incapable of occurring or existing in God can manifest. Say, wow, God, I never looked at it that way before. That's extraordinary. See, ordinary prayer gets ordinary results. But Elisha did not hesitate to ask God for the impossibility. Do you remember they were surrounded by their enemies in 2 Kings, I think it is 6:17? And the servant said, oh, we're in trouble. And Elijah said, oh, wait a minute, there's more of us than there are of them. And he said, well, I don't know, there's just like two of us here. He said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see that which is not capable of existing or capable of coming to pass unless they has the God factor involved. And all of a sudden, boom, what did he see? Chariots of fire. What did he see? Angels that surrounded the mountainside. And he thought, whoa, there are more of us than there are of them, because I have now seen the extraordinary side of God. I've seen the possible side of God instead of living in the impossible side of God. Church, I'm praying this way. I'm believing this way. You as a terrorist, you can take off the head of someone. Ha! And watch God graze them up and put it back. Wouldn't that shake them? If God would suddenly, they're dead, head rolling. God said, bring that back, and puts it on their shoulder. You say, well, that's impossible. How many would believe that? You don't have to say it, because some of you are thinking, that's crazy, that's stupid. That's not capable of happening. That can't exist. I mean, how can that happen? When somebody's head's off, it's off. But how many know that all things are possible to them who believe? Now, wouldn't that be a kicker if you got all these people in black hoods and swords thinking they're all bad and everything, and they come try to take your head off, it rolls for about 10 feet, backs up, jumps back up on your shoulder, and you say, Jesus is Lord. Now, that would probably shake them to their core. See, some of us pray like this. Here's what an ordinary prayer sounds like. Are you ready? Nothing wrong with them, but they're not extraordinary enough. Ordinary prayer. Lord, help my child from being so stupid and making wrong choices in their life. God, would you just help them? That's ordinary. Extraordinary would be, Father, I decree and I declare that you will turn my child around, you will make them great, and they will touch people all over the earth, and they will bring glory to you through their life. Amen. That's extraordinary. Because in the natural, it looks impossible. But there's nothing incapable of happening or existing when you believe God. You see the difference? Here's another ordinary prayer. God, just help me make it by this month. I just want to have enough food to the end of the month, and I just want to make sure the Love Center's open so I can give me some more food next week, and hope that check comes on time this month. And God, help me pay my rent. I love my landlord. I just want to pay my rent. Here's an extraordinary prayer. Father, I thank you that you increase me more and more every day. I thank you, God. Not only will I pay my rent, but I will buy a house and I will pay cash for it. Not only will I pay off my house, but I will pay off somebody else's house that you show me needs to have their house paid off in Jesus' name. You say, oh, that's a stupid prayer. That's an impossible prayer. Come on. You're just going too far with this. God-sized, man-sized. I don't know about you, but I want to get into the God-sized prayer realm, not the man-sized prayer realm. Here's one more example. Father, I just thank you that my parents were loving people. They provided for me, and I know they didn't go to college, and I probably won't go to college. And Father, I just don't want to lose ground. I just want to bring honor to their name. Amen. Boy, that sounds like a really good prayer, but how about this kind of a prayer? Father, I thank you for my parents, and I honor them. But Lord, I thank you, God, that their ceiling will be nothing but just my floor. I thank you that I will bring greatness to this family. I thank you, Lord, that I will bring the whole Canton name to a new standard of excellence and ability, and we will be world renowned because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that's crazy prayer. Look at somebody and give them a fist bump. Say, that's crazy prayer. Come on, that's crazy prayer. See, look at James chapter 4 and verse 2. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 2. Come on, church, stay with me. I know some of you think I'm crazy, but that's all right. Look, he goes on to talk about your lust and you don't have. Then at the bottom, yet you do not have because what? You don't ask. We don't have because we don't ask. We don't ask because we think it's impossible. It's incapable of existing. It's incapable of coming to pass. How can someone have their head put back on their shoulders? I don't know. All I know is God is able to do anything. So I'm going to walk and believe that God's going to begin manifesting himself this way in a powerful, supernatural way all over the earth. Do it here in Cleveland, God. Do it right here in my family, God. Do it right here in this nation and the nations of the earth. So you need to expect God to open doors when you need them. The word when identifies time. Chronos, kairos, all that stuff. I'm not that intelligent to break all that down for you. But I know natural time, and God can step into it because he's not controlled by natural time. God didn't brush his teeth this morning, didn't make breakfast. He didn't get out of the bed. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's not regulated by time. Hallelujah. God may be late, but he's always on time, somebody said. Listen, he knows when you need a break in. That's how it happened in Acts chapter 16. The jailer woke up and the doors of the prison were open. God knew when those doors had to open. So, Father, I thank you that I can go to bed tonight even though I'm on this side of the prison door, because I know that you know when that door needs to open. And I believe, God, that you're going to open it up. Hallelujah. God-sized prayers. And not let go of the God-sized prayer. You and I have to get the extra on our ordinary. Now let me tell you a story about a little boy by the name of David. He was a shepherd boy. His life was like a mess. You know, he had issues with his dad. Remember when Samuel came to pick out a king? They brought all the boys out. No, no, no. Do you have any other boys? He said, yeah, I got one. But he's out in the hills of Bethlehem taking care of them sneaky sheep. Go get him. Now David could have said to the response to God in Chronicles that I'm going to establish your throne forever and you will never lack a man to sit on that throne. He could have said, but Jesus, I thank you for blessing me. I know I'm nothing but a stinky sheep herder. Oh God, I thank you, Lord, that even though my father, he overlooked me. He didn't call me. I hate my father. Needs a sozo. Needs inner healing. Needs a deliverance. But you know how many Christians go to God in prayer when God says, I'm going to make your name great. We're like, not me, God. Oh, I failed you so many times. He doesn't know how to put the extra on his ordinary. I'm an ordinary man, but I found the ingredient of God's extra. And when you find the ingredient of God's extra, He could take you extraordinary places, do extraordinary things in the life of ordinary people. Come on, why don't you praise Him right there, church? Come on, why don't you praise Him right there? Woo! Thank you, Lord. 1 Chronicles 17, God said to David, his descendants would always be on the throne. And David could have said, I'm just that shepherd boy. David could have said, I've never forgave my father. David could have said, I have issues with lust with women. David could have said, I have resentment against my son's beauty and handsomeness and his following and charisma. He could have said a lot of things. But David learned something about God's extra. And what is God's extra? It's what God said. When you take what God said, that extra, and put it on your ordinary, you turn into extraordinary. Watch this. And now, O Lord, the word which you have spoken, this is David. And now, O Lord, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, let it be. Let it be. Yeah, no more of that. That's enough. Let it be established forever and do as you have said. Let it be established that your name may be magnified forever, saying the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, is Israel's God. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build him a house. Therefore, take your servant. Therefore, your servant has found it in his heart to pray before you. And now, Lord, you are God, and you have promised this goodness to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you have blessed it, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. David took God's extra, his word about his life, and he began to declare it. He began to pray it. He began to speak it. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to get God's word over your life, over your children, over your marriage, over your money, over your health, whatever he said, and began to declare it. And that declaration will make your ordinary life become an extraordinary life, and you will begin to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You see, that's the extraordinary life that God has for us today in this generation. We're not to walk in fear. We're not to walk in apprehension. We're not to walk in resentment or anger or unforgiveness. We apply the word to that. That's what ordinary people do. Ordinary church people have trouble like that. Ordinary people who name the name of Christ, who don't put the extra on their ordinary life, go through with unforgiveness of those that have hurt them in their past and remember it and not let go. That's ordinary. But extraordinary people take God's extra that says forgive them. Forgive them. Release them who persecute you and despitefully use you for my name's sake. For great shall you have a reward in heaven. So Father, I thank you. I take your extra and I put it on my ordinary life. And now you have made me into an extraordinary Christian. Got to put the extra in there. Extra in there. You know, it's interesting in Matthew 20, 32, and I'm almost done, but just hear this. Two blind men by the side of the road. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Yelled it again and again. And the disciples said, shh, hold it down. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Two blind guys. Now, if Jesus came, they could have asked anything. They could have said, Jesus, could you give us some food? You know I need food. I'm out here begging every day. We need some food, Jesus. He could have said, Jesus, could you give me a new cloak to cover myself? I'm so cold. The nights are so cold, and I just need some covering. He could have said, Jesus, if you could, just get us a new house. Get us a place where we can sleep. There's a lot of times we just lay here by the road all night and get up in the morning and start begging again. God, it'd be so nice to have a bed. It'd be so nice to have a shelter. But look what Jesus said. He stood and he called to them and he said, what do you want me to do for you? And they got bold. God-sized prayer. Amen. Amen. We want to see. I want to see. I want to see. She said, all right. Bam. Boom. They prayed a God-sized prayer that everybody within hearing thought they were too, taking it too far. Stop yelling so loud. Quit crying out to him like that. This is the master. You could pray for food. You could pray for money. You could pray for a blanket. You could pray for a shelter. You could pray for a new walker. You could pray for some braille lessons. You could pray for all that. But don't pray that you would see. And they said, wait a minute. He's the healer. By his stripes, on his back I was healed. He was bruised for my iniquities. I'm going to go extraordinary prayers. I'm going to get bold. I'm going to ask God for some big God-sized prayer. Father, heal my body. God-sized prayer. They added the extra. I want to challenge you today. I dare you to ask God to relieve you of all that pain in your body. I dare you to say, God, take this sickness away from me. God, take this disease away from me. God, I dare you right now, say, Lord, I want this addiction broken in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. God, I dare you. I want to get married. I'll pray for you, but go ahead and pray it. I dare you. Open your mouth wide and let God fill it. Come on, lift your hands up to heaven. Say this with me. God has put seeds of greatness in me. Okay, you're repeating it like, you know, I mean, now lay me down to sleep and bring the Lord my phone again. Amen. Come on, you got to give me a little more than that. I mean, I'm working hard up here. Come on, help me. Come on, lift your hands up to heaven and declare it with me. Say, God, you have put greatness inside of me.
God, you have put greatness inside of me.
Woo! I felt that. I felt that. Whoa. Come on, let's say it now. Lift them hands up. Say, God,
you want me
to leave a mark
on my generation
that cannot be erased. Shout hallelujah. Come on, lift them hands up. You thought I was done, but I'm just getting started. Come on, shout, God. I am not supposed to come and go. And nobody miss me. Woo, amen. Nobody miss me. Come on, lift up your hands. Say, God,
I'm about
to leave the ordinary zone. And break out
of the box
of the impossible. Hallelujah. Come on. Woo. Now you're going to make me run in this church. I know if you're visiting and you're thinking we're absolutely crazy, you're absolutely right. Come on, say, God,
I declare
the extra in every ordinary area of my life, my marriage, my children, my money, my health, my ministry, in Jesus' name. Woo! Hallelujah. Say, Father,
if I can do it on my own,
then my prayer's not big enough. Holy Ghost,
help me
to pray
God-sized prayers
every day,
in every way,
in every situation.
Now shout
hallelujah to the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo. All right, you can be seated. Now, I'm just telling you now, folks, something's happening in the realm of the Spirit.
So I don't know why we have to yell like that. I don't know why we have to just...
We're making declarations that all of heaven is shouting amen to. All right? We're declaring in all of the powers and principalities of the air going, whoa, 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 what's going on down here? They're praying God-sized prayers. We're in trouble. So you and I have got to find in the Scripture and be bold enough to ask God for it. Find it in the Scripture and ask God. Be bold enough to ask God for it, because you and I can't only pray to God for our needs. We need to pray for the fulfillment of our dreams. Dreams. I said, Lord, how can I go around the world and find the person that you have your hand on, the Ethiopian, whoever it is, and pray with them and say, God sent me here to tell you. I'm going to pray for you and you're going to have an impartation. Not because of me. Look, you're not talented enough. You're not gifted enough. Don't ever think you can come and pray a prayer because you have got an anointing, that you somehow have knowledge. No, 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 no. Understand that you only are able to pray extraordinary prayer because God gave you the extra. God gave you the extra. So I just pray now for salvation, September 21st, 2nd, and 3rd. Heaven's gates and hell's flames will not be just a drama. It will be so anointed. People will run to the altar to be saved. Your family will be saved. Your children will be saved. Your co-workers will be saved. People all around this region shall be saved in Jesus' name. I pray and believe God for supernatural healings, miracles, signs, and wonders to follow. I thank you, Lord, that people in this room are going to begin to see increase. They're going to see all kinds of uncanny promotions, things that just didn't seem to be possible. But God, you can bring in existence that which is not capable of manifesting. God, because you are a possible God, not an impossible God. And I just declare this over your life. There's more. There's more. I break that mentality that says, I've reached the limit. There is no more for me. God's done with me. No, He's not. You're just about to get started. I don't care if you're 16 or you're 60. God has a plan for your life and my life. And we are in the right place at the right time to manifest the right word for a generation that is going to see the power of God manifest. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Whew. Now, God's raising up generations to take this message around the world. And I'm thankful for that. And so, Promise, get up here. And Dion, get up here. And I don't know if he's singing with you, but no Promise is singing. Promise is a little gal from Church on the Rise. Her mom and dad are Paul and Patty. And they were on our staff. We sent them out 20 years ago to start the church. And Promise was born. Look at her. Isn't she pretty? She's beautiful, isn't she? Yeah. And Promise is a worship leader. She just has a new album out. And she's going off to school, Bethel School in Redding, California. And I invited her to come today because I want you to be blessed by her music. She's going to sing a song for us. And then these albums are available today only. How much? $5. I mean, that's practically giving it away. And I don't know, how many of these do you have? Do you have a lot of them?
Yeah.
Okay, so she has a lot of them, so buy a lot of them and help her out, because all the proceeds are going to go to pay her tuition, get her out there. And we got her a little gift. We got her what kind of candle was that, Tina? It was a caramel pop, salted caramel popcorn candle. You can't eat it. Did you smell it? Isn't it crazy? But she's staying with 8 other girls. She needs that candle to burn, right? Hallelujah. But go ahead, go over to the wherever you're going to play. And let's welcome her and let's worship as she sings. All right, come on, put your hands together, church. Amen. Amen. Well, we're all about wanting to raise up a generation and support them. So one of the ways you can do that, and pick up one of these, it says, I won't stop, Promise Andre. I won't stop, the ones you just sang, Holy and Anointed One, Whispered Words, You Don't Fade Away, and New Borders. New Borders is probably my favorite on the entire album. So, well, they're all good, but I really like that one for some reason. It really helped me because New Borders speaks that God's expanding us. Amen. And I really believe that He's expanding all of us today. If you're here today and you don't know that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven, we certainly want to pray for you, believing that God has a supernatural plan for your life. Don't leave here without Jesus. He loves you so much. And you know, like Robin Williams, so many people we pass by every day, they laugh on the outside, but on the inside, they're hurting. And you may have come today hurting. Look, we may not be able to fix you, but I do know one that can. That's Jesus. So let us pray with you before we go today. Also, I'm going to ask if you'd be so gracious on the way out. We've had so many requests for people to help them. People that say, I'm going to have my car repoed and I won't be able to get to work if you don't help me. I don't make enough hardly to make my rent and I just need help. Or, you know, we don't have groceries this week. Can you help us? Or my light bill's due and we need help. Or my medical bills are just overwhelming and I can't get another prescription unless I get this cash. And so we do all we can. But let me tell you, there's more need than there is money. So today on the way out, if ushers, you could be so gracious to stand at the doors and be ready with the offering bags. And if you'd give something to help benevolence need, poor in our church, would you do that? And those that are out in the city that come to us, the ones that we can help them. We want to be a blessing. So if you can put a couple dollars in the offering, that would be so cool. Again, don't forget, I won't stop. I think you'll enjoy this as well. So would you like to stand, please, everybody? I think that song said, I want to feel you. I want to know you. What else did it say? I want to know you. I want to feel you. I want to see you. Right? those three. How many want to see Jesus? How many want to know Him? I want to feel Him too. I want to feel You, Jesus. I want to know You, and I want to see You. Thank You, Father. Altar ministers, would you join us across the front of this room? Holy Spirit, speak to the hearts of Your people. Draw by Your Spirit those that need to be saved, those that need to be encouraged, those that need to have prayer for their future, for their present. Maybe you need strengthened today. We want to pray for you. God is here, and He loves you. And we just want to pray with you. So if you need prayer before you go out those doors, please join us here at the front. I want to invite all the men to join us Wednesday night. Men of honor, all the guys, come on, join us. We have a great Bible study. Ladies, Beth Moore, last Wednesday night for that. And then the following Wednesday night, we're going to have a celebration dinner. So I call it a pot blessing, not pot luck. But bring a dish to share. We're all going to have dinner together and get to know each other. And then we're going to have a soaking night following that week. Prophetic release soaking night. It's going to be an awesome midweek. We hope that you'll join us. So if you need prayer, please come this way. God bless you. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. And hey, I love you. Nothing you can do about it. Tell three people, I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. Thanks for being a part of Church on the North Coast this morning. Please stop by and see Promise. If you can't buy one of the albums, at least encourage her out in the foyer. We love you. God bless you.